Blake McDonald, once again from World Health, joins us. Blake, how you doing, man?
Not too bad. Not too bad, Jason. Went to the first Oil game in Rogers Place last night, so a little bit frustrated with the result, but humbled by the stadium.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a great place. And entertaining game, but you can't, as the coach says, gift them a goal when it's 2-1 and give up another goal in the first 2 minutes of the game, kind of being the issue.
Tough.
For the Oilers recently. But you know what? You don't want to give up as being a fan. And sometimes, hey, Oiler fans have had to stick to it. So maybe really what you should do is, as a gym, you should just have Oiler fans who have stuck through the decade of darkness and have them talk to people about, hey, if I can stick being an Oiler fan, you can stick going to the gym.
Well, there you go. I mean, we'd all know how to do that here in Edmonton for sure.
So let's, We talked a little bit about the three people in the gym last year, those who don't talk to me, that give me the directions, educate me type of people. But I want to talk a little bit about the people that once they get great results, then they fell off the wagon again. How come? Like, why is it so hard to maintain constant exercise?
You know, and it's a tough one, Jason. There's a lot of people that get those fast results, and everybody knows somebody that, lost a bunch of weight. They look great for a while, and then it all comes back on again, right? So, and the biggest problem is people just don't understand that you need to make it a lifestyle change versus just, make it a stage in your life. There's a ton of diet businesses that sort of prey on that. But, when you commit to something like this, it needs to be a lifelong commitment. And the way that you do that is you have your friends and family who, support you in it. And it's not, you can have people who encourage you at home and they, they tell you good job, but it's, what's more important is having friends or family that are actually going with you and keeping you accountable to coming. And, when your social life becomes intertwined with the gym or whatever fitness routine it is that you choose to do, it makes it a lot easier to do it and make it a habit all the time. That's why when you join a gym, like, they give you things like VIP referral passes. And it's not as much about getting you to bring in more members. It's more so to help you create a support network or people that you can come with that allow you to, as I said, make it a habit versus just a stage in your life.
So but how do you do that?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is don't try and do it alone. Make sure that you have friends, or if you're going to go down this endeavor of getting fit, or if you're going to go down the endeavor of, changing the way you do something, pick a friend or a family member to do it with and, share your experiences and bring them with you when you work out, get a trainer together. That's the best way to do it. I mean, the people that we see be, that are most successful and that continue to come 3, 4, 5 times a week in our clubs are typically coming with a friend. They're meeting a friend there. They're not trying to do this all on their own.
Well, and that's the thing, right? But finding out a workout buddy is pretty tough too, because then you got to get somebody who's on the same schedule, right?
Well, you do, and that is always a challenge. But the thing is, if you can even get someone to start with, what we see a lot of people do is, they go into this with someone, that someone goes away, but, you meet people, and that's why gyms, still have a business. We become, a bit of a social networking place where you can actually, meet a lot of friends and meet a lot of new people that who typically, if they're working out there when you're there, well, they're going to be able to work out, they might be able to meet you later on. So their schedule typically works for yours. And, you seem to meet a lot of people that way.
Now, Blake, the interesting thing is, and a lot of people will wonder, well, can you do it at home successfully?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of people that do. However, if everyone could do it at home, there wouldn't be so many treadmills and ellipticals sitting around as being used as clothes hangers. I know that, everybody kind of has that piece of equipment that they bought that they thought that they were, going to use some video to do. But for most people, going to the gym is about leveraging a couple of things. Number one, we have professional help that gives, accountability, instruction, motivation. And then going back to that social network, having a place where, you can go with someone or you can meet them there. It just softens the blow of doing all the hard work. And So at home, it's a lot tougher to get at both of those things. And again, that's why gyms and studios and fitness centers, still have a very viable business, because you need to have that. You need to have that place where you can go to get both professional help and motivation, and a social setting.
Blake McDonald from World Health joins us now. The other thing, for people, because we've got a lot of texts coming in about this, that people from different varieties, they've started, and when they don't get the results right away, Blake, that seems to be the most discouraging thing for most people. And a lot of people, once they've tried it once and it didn't work, they're very hesitant to want to give it another shot. So how do you get over that fear factor? Maybe you tried it 5 years ago and you didn't get the results you wanted, right? Like, do people have unrealistic results? Is that maybe one of the concerns early on?
Not really. I mean, listen. I think everyone would be happy with small gains, and they should be, because nothing happens overnight. But the reality is, a lot of people that have tried it in the past and have failed, They did so because they were, going back to the three types of people that you see in a gym. There's the don't talk to me person, I don't want any help, versus the people that are, give me direction, give me education. A lot of people think they're that first one. They think they're the person that, I'm going to go and do it myself. And so, 5 years ago when they tried it, they went in, they worked on the treadmill, they did a few free weights, but they didn't really ask for any help. They didn't really ask for any assistance from anyone. And so, typically when we see people fail, it's because they didn't take part in the programming of the gym. There's a stat, and I keep bringing it up on these calls, 90% of the people that get the results they were looking for when they first came to the gym take part in the programs or services of the club. And so that means doing things like group fitness classes, or your initial fitness consultation, or even just little small things like asking a personal trainer when you're on the floor, hey, listen, what do you think I should be doing? This is what I'm trying to achieve, and starting that discussion. It's just sad. People, they spend all this time getting over the inhibitions of getting started, and then they fail because they're too scared or insecure to ask for help. And the biggest thing is like, if you failed in the past, probably was because you didn't get enough assistance or direction in terms of what you needed to do. And that's why we really encourage the people to come back today and give it a try. But make sure you know and identify that you're that second type of person.
Yeah, it's something that you have to know your strengths and weaknesses as somebody who wants to exercise, right?
Yeah,
and 100%. And I know you mentioned how there's a lot of people that go there and just want to do everything on their own, but realistically maybe don't have the drive, or in a lot of cases necessarily the education on what they need to do. Like, it's okay to ask for help to begin with, just like we would in anything else. Usually, like, if there are some people who just teach themselves the guitar, and that's pretty great. But in most cases, when we take on something that we want to have success with, we either have a mentor or somebody, whether it's a trainer or anybody else, that can at least give us some guidance for the first few steps.
Yeah, it's like driving around in a big city. If you don't have a map or you don't have a GPS, if you don't stop and ask for directions, you're never going to find where you're going to go. So, that's why those people are there, and it doesn't always have to cost you money either, right? There's a lot of trainers are in this, and a lot of fitness professionals are in this business because, first and foremost, they wanted to do something where they were helping people. So, they're typically great people to ask because they're going to give you free advice all the time. And they understand that, by giving you advice, you're going to want more. So that, they're always willing, I've met very few fitness professionals in my life who would, turn down an opportunity to educate someone, even if it's for free. So I think I just would encourage people to do that.
Well, exactly, because most of them want to see someone have success.
Yeah, well, I mean, whether or not it was because of something, they trained them, or whether it was because they just gave them a piece of advice that got them going on a direction that, changed their life, that's the reason why they're in this business, so...
Blake, one last one for you. And I think sometimes I'll say it is, I think some people use an excuse when they say, well, I don't like the gym scene. There's guys taking selfies and they're looking in the mirror, but I'm like, well, why are you staring at them? Because why is their selfie photo or their love of themselves impacting your ability to work out? Like, who cares? But I'm not even sure. Like, I went to the gym for a long time. I never really noticed that. But is it still an issue you find from people that step into your place? Is there still a concern of the, quote, culture of the gym?
I think that's a huge stigma, and I think what you would find if you went into most gyms or studios is that, you know, you're just not going to see that. I mean, for example, World Health, we don't even allow that to occur, you know, out in the public. So, there's two things to remember. Number one, you're not going to see people flaunting it. Number two, you know, even if you see that person who looks like they're really fit, you got to remember they started somewhere too. And what I've typically found is that when new exercisers go and approach those individuals, a lot of times they find, you know, they're shocked by how nice they are and how supportive they are to that person's journey. You know, if they ask them how to use a piece of equipment, that big guy is just going to be, he's going to be more than overwhelmed to try and help you, because he was there too, right? So I think whether it's a fitness professional or even as somebody that is a fairly avid gym goer, I think what people would be shocked by seeing is the amount of support that they can get just by asking for a little bit of help or asking for some advice.
Blake, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great one.